Herschel Woody Williams received a Medal of Honor for actions on Iwo Jima during the Second World War. He almost wasn't accepted into the Marines. He was too short when he first tried to enlist. A few months later, they lowered the height requirement and he joined up. The battle where Williams earned distinction happened the same day five Marines and a Navy corpsman raised an American flag on Mount Suribachi, February 23, 1945.
I've always felt that America needed something at that moment, and that was it. When the second flag went up, the Marines around me, and I don't know, have any idea what I was doing, but the Marines around me started jumping up and down and firing their weapons into the air, their BARs and M1 rifles they were firing. And that, what in the world is going on? And then I look up and see the flag on Suribachi. And so what do? Same thing they're doing. If they hadn't done that, I don't know whether I'd have seen the flag or not.
Trained operator flamethrower, Williams was in charge of six other Marines. All of his men were killed in the battle, leaving Williams as the only one left who knew how to use them.
My commanding officer, who happened to be a fellow from Tennessee by the name of Donald Beck, he was about the only officer we had left. The others had either been wounded or killed. And he called a meeting of NCOs. And being a corporal, I was classified as an NCO. And, of course, having a special unit made me in charge of a unit, so I was notified, you're to go to the meeting. And we gathered in a great big shell crater. I suppose it was a bomb that had made it, but it was so deep that we could get down in the bottom of it, and that protected us from grazing fire, than from artillery or mortars, but at least gave us some protection. That's where we gathered. And there were 10 or 12 of us in that hole. And he was looking for ideas of how and the, what to do. And the word is that he asked me if I thought I could do something with flamethrower on those pillboxes. And I've said this all my life, I have no idea what my response was. Some of the fellows who survived and were in the hole that day reported that I said, I'll try.
It has been said that courage is being afraid, but doing what needs to be done anyway. Williams fully understands how afraid he was that day, yet he did what the other Marines there needed him to do.
I have so little memory of that 4 hours that I spent knocking out and or burning out seven pillboxes. Some of it, there's two or three things that are just so vivid I can almost reach out and touch them. And there are others like, how did I get my flamethrowers? Nobody brought them to me. I know that. But there are times that I can't remember. I can remember rolling out of some of the flamethrowers, but much of going back and getting a flamethrower and getting back in the battle again, much of that just isn't there. And I know it was fear.
I'm sure.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I was approaching a pillbox, and I don't know which one it was of the seven. I have no idea whether it was the third one or the fourth one. I don't know. But I can remember he was shooting at me with a Nambu, which is like our 30 caliber machine gun. Bullets were ricocheting off my flamethrower. It was like a jackhammer. I'm sure I didn't think of that at that time, but hitting the flamethrower air tank and ricocheting up. I saw smoke coming out of the top of that pillbox. And so reason says you got to be an opening up there. And I went around to the back side of it, which was covered with sand. So I didn't have to climb up the side of the pillbox. I just went up the sand that had been piled on the top and sloped off. And that opening, I could fire my weapon down the hole.
While his life was forever changed by the events of that day, Williams is not a fan of war, but he does see one positive result.
I've said many times, there's very little about war that is good. There is one thing that very often comes out of war, and it happens to individuals who become so close to each other, so dependent upon each other, and so committed to each other that they're willing to give their life for another guy. And that happens a lot. I've wondered, would I have done that? And I've wondered, would I do it for my brother? I don't know. And I don't think you will ever know until that moment in time. War certainly gave me an appreciation of life that I didn't have before. How very valuable it is, and how very quickly you can lose it.
Returning to civilian life after war was easier for Williams because of his Medal of Honor. It forced him to talk about his experiences.
I have always attributed my conversion to the fact that as a recipient of the Medal of Honor, I was forced by the public. And now I am a public figure, and I didn't want to be, but I was, simply because I had the Medal of Honor, and I was forced to talk about my experience. So it was a therapy to me, a kind of a rehabilitation type thing to me, because I had all kinds of nightmares and those things that go with that, but since I was forced to talk about it, I didn't hold it in. I let it out. And I still think that really helped me adjust back to where I was before. And it kept me thinking about it. You know? But the guy that just thinks of the one side of it and doesn't think of the other side of it, sometimes he has a lot of trouble. And I talk to veterans and speak to veterans' conventions and that sort of thing. I tell them, don't hold it in. Talk to somebody about it. Somebody that you can have confidence in, but talk it out. Get it out of your system. When you're holding it in there, it just keeps building. So some will, some won't.
Williams has never forgotten the other Marines who helped him accomplish the tasks that earned him the Medal of Honor, two of which gave their lives protecting him.
I've always said that the medal really doesn't belong to me. Specifically, it belongs to those two Marines who gave their lives that day, because if they hadn't protected me, I might not be here. And they gave their life in the process. So when I wear the medal, I wear it for them. I don't wear it for me. I'm just doing a job like everybody else is supposed to do their job, you know. It belongs to them and those Marines who didn't get to come home. We've had in our history about 42 million of people who have served in our armed forces, that only 3,479 of the Medals of Honor have been awarded out of that 42 million. It makes it a very special gem in my mind. And when I wear the medal, it has an effect on me as it does my fellow recipients, that you don't wear it just to show it off. You wear it for a cause and a purpose. And when you do, those who recognize it, and there are some who do not, but those who recognize it for what it is.
The Medal of Honor is the United States of America's highest military honor, awarded for personal acts of valor above and beyond the call of duty. William certainly met that criteria and earned that precious gem of an award. His actions, before and after battle, make him a gem in his own right.